Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Well, this is our common ground. Our common ground. And I want to thank Janice Graham for allowing me this opportunity to rant, to rave, to do what I do. I've got to say I'm a little, I would say, self-promoting here. I'm reaching around to pat myself on the back. I had such a smooth transition, and I don't think I've missed a beat here, but just give me time. I'll miss one. But welcome to the Alpha Show, brought to you by Our Common Ground. We have a serious, serious problem in our discourse. We have a serious problem in our community. We have a problem with the standing government giving us equal protection under the law. We have a problem with the standing government allowing equal opportunity when it comes to education, employment. We've come a long way from slavery into Jim Crow, into the Civil Rights Bill, and the struggle continues with the infiltration of this nation and its lawmakers is in all three levels, legislative, judicial, and executive. All have been infiltrated by what used to be simply white hood, white sheet wearing Klansmen that brought us the slavery, Jim Crow, and now that have been railing against the 1965 Civil Rights Bill and the entire scenario. Just as they're doing against abortion, they're doing the same thing. And it's a continuing saga. And for us to break those chains, to remove ourselves from what we consider to be disparate treatment, you have to say to yourself, what can we do? What can we do as individuals? What is the responsibility of each and every one of us? You can rail on those who are not doing or contributing, those who make our society, our neighborhoods, our culture, those who have turned their back on, I would say, the African-American culture, those who lend themselves to being the degrading, the takeaway from what is real and what is needed. What is real and what is needed in this culture, in this African-American culture? Where do we draw a line and say, hey, wait a minute? You ain't right. Don't tell me about what some teenager, some early 20s guy ain't doing. He'll have to deal with that in his own conscience down the way. What can we do as people who simply care about what the hell is going on, especially in our neighborhood? And I've always advocated one thing. We can start with individual responsibilities. We can start with parents who involve themselves in their school, in the child's school, in the schooling of their children. Parents are the first teachers. And it seems that in our neighborhood, in our community, it's African-American women who step up. We can start with that. But that is just the beginning. That is just a percentage. That simply means we will increase the level of consciousness and the level of educated individuals. We will increase the level and the numbers of people who are aware. Increasing the numbers of, you know, those who are not clueless, and increasing those numbers are fine. But unless we get into that mothership, that foundation of what is keeping a foot on the necks of so many African-American people in this country, and that's the politics. That's the politics. Individual responsibility is one thing, but once you dig down and you get into the politics of all of this, once you get into the politics of who's setting this thermostat to create this temperature that we find ourselves engulfed in, that we find ourselves, we're being sweated out by a system that is set for our failure. A prison system that doesn't dispense justice equally. The judicial system as it is for African Americans is broken. So, is this the new slavery? These prisons, for-profit prisons, outsourced for-profit prisons, is this the extension, just another extension of the corporate reach? Is this the new slavery? And you have people, I know, you have folks who say, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with don't do the crime if you can't do the time. But we've seen over and over and over again a remarkable set of circumstances that gives you reason to wonder, why is there this level of discrepancy of African-American men in prison and Hispanic men in prison in today's industrial prison complex? Because now it's for profit. Now it's a business. It's either what's on the stock exchange. Now it's about money. We can make money off of the level of, I would say, unhealthy laws for African Americans, be it through underfunding of our schools, the miseducating of our children, all the way down to the disparaging sentencing, the crack cocaine compared to the powder cocaine. Cocaine is cocaine. Why is there a difference? There's a difference because it's rather simple. In the community, in the dark underworld, African Americans deal more with crack cocaine than powder cocaine. So why is there a disparaging level of punishment for those who seek to be law abiders, those people who dispensate the law, and the judges who sit on the benches, the same judges who will sentence a black man for 4 or 5 rocks, 7, 8, 10, 15 rocks of cocaine, and won't do the same for a white guy with an 8-ball or a 16th or a small amount of powder cocaine. So we're fighting, we're still fighting this unbelievable, and I would have to say unimaginable. People talk about how far we've come. And if you're talking about a mountain, we're on the uphill climb, and we're not even in the middle when it comes to equal opportunity, when it comes to your fair share. How many inner cities are African Americans fighting for their fair share for city construction jobs? How many inner city confrontations do you have where the leaders in those communities are simply saying that African Americans or Hispanic Americans aren't getting their fair share of these jobs? If you can set that thermostat and create that temperature in a community, the community will never recover or survive. We have been so shocked. We have been so damaged with what we've endured in the last 400 years in this nation. You have to ask yourself a question if you are of fair mind. And don't get me wrong, I'm not out here trying to trumpet illegal activity. I'm not out here trying to promote a double standard. I think the double standard is already in full effect and is to our negative. It is definitely against us. And it's incumbent upon myself and anyone else who can come to the forefront and simply point it out. This is really about not just racism, as we find it so prevalent in our community. This is also about white supremacy. This is also about people who look like us, who simply are looking to get over. And by getting over, they will do things like go into an elected office with one lie and leave in handcuffs because of another lie. And this is something that you have to look at, and you have to ask yourself, well, what in the hell was he thinking about? Over and over and over again, what you find in our community is this depraved indifference for doing the right thing. It's not about the people. It's about self-promotion. It's about that monetary gain that each and every individual it's only natural to crave for that. It's only natural to reach for that. But you do yourself a serious disservice. You do your community a serious disservice. The people who are perpetrating these frauds on their own community have to be left with, their own devices. They have to be Their conscience has to bother them, whether it happens now or whether it happens down the road. You have to simply say, what in the hell were you thinking about? What in the hell are you trying to tell us that we should know? And what reasoning are you trying to give us for what you're doing? I'm simply saying, at some point and at some time, you've got to be conscious of what you're doing and how you're doing it, especially if you want to represent or you call yourself representing a people. And if you're just in it for the money, you're just in it for the money, because that will come to the surface also. That will be one of the that will be your legacy. That's what you may start out with, very good intentions, but once you are teased, once you are enticed by that almighty dollar, you have to sit back and ask yourself, is this why I'm here? Is this what I'm in this for? I have to say, that's a question that everybody has to ask themselves. That's a question that everybody has to look at the other man and ask the other man, what are your intentions? Are you in it to be in it, or are you in it for the money? And that seems to be the biggest question. That's the 800-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to our community, when it comes to the people who, the so-called leaders, the pulpit barons, the people who hold themselves as front men for the Lord, who seem to have the ears of the majority of the community at least once a week. There is an opportunity once a week, and it happens on Sunday, the most segregated time in our country today, is on a Sunday, and it's in these churches. And what is the message that is being carried by the men at the pulpit? Now, you might say, well, the church is there to carry the word of God. Okay. I would have no problem with that if that is all that they did. But they've always gotten into there, always spiraled into politics, social issues, and wasn't it Jesus that preached social justice? I'm just saying. That's the question for me. It appears that I may have to change my communication device for this particular walkie-talkie. May be going down, and it may be going down at any moment. So while I do that, I'm going to take a break. And while I do that, I would simply ask that I can get a caller at 347-838-9852 in case this communication device drops. At least there won't be dead air, and someone else can get to the can keep you entertained and basically keep it all together. So I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to try to switch apparatuses to get to continue this program. And like I said, I'll be back with you right behind this. Welcome back. Hopefully, I've done this right. Hopefully, I've made a pretty good transition. 347-8398. If you want to get in touch with me. 405, you're on the line.
Yes, I'm here, Alpha, trying to come on in there and give you some support there.
Well, thanks a lot, Don. It's I had to double take on it, but thank you for calling. If you can, Don, if you will. I know you can, if you will.
Well, you're coming in loud and clear right now, and I was busy this morning. I wanted to get in on the India's program, but I had to attend to some civic duties. And we were discussing about the same thing we're discussing now. I was dealing with the police department, and we were talking about the sad state of affairs of the graduation rate, dropout rate, rather, of our middle school students. Not only here in where I'm at, this part of the country, but just in general across the nation. And the consensus seemed to be from among us that were there was that we need strong families. And it boiled down to the fact that, what types of, the police are stretched pretty thin. They don't necessarily want to put the kids into the pipeline. But once they drop out of school, then what other alternative do they have except to be attracted to the criminal lifestyle? Either through gangs or some other methodology. But they're definitely on their way to the criminal justice system, which we have heretofore discussed on repeated occasions, Alpha.
Well, Don, I got to, the president last week basically co-signed this bit about firing all the teachers, and I guess it was in Rhode Island, and this beaten down Rhode Island community. And I can't get my head around, how is it the teachers' fault? It's not the teachers who have produced this product, and I'm speaking of the children. The children are there to learn. But if you don't have discipline, if you don't have everyone on the same, if the teacher is not in charge, then the teacher cannot teach. And if there's, I live here, and I got to literally tell you, if you were to put a camera in these classrooms, in my community, you would simply increase the prison population. You would literally increase the prison population, and students who are there who want to learn, they cannot learn because there is an atmosphere of educated children who are trying to learn. There's this nerd label that is instantly set upon any child who wants to achieve. There is this bullying, this gang notion that people who are educated, smart isn't cool. Prisons, pants under your butt, your own dialogue, your own dialect, your ebonics. All of that is hip, all of that is cool, until you are introduced to the real world, till you go get a job. And I've got two grandsons that I've spoken about. Out of my 12 grandchildren, there are four boys, two who do and two who don't. There are two who don't wear their pants under their butts. There are two who wear a belt, and, they come off as, African-American teenagers. and then two who wear their pants under their butts, and it's all about their swag, and they're self-promoting. It's about what they're going to do, and neither one has done a damn thing. But what is it? Where is it that we are going to find young men who get the message correct? And I got to say, I leave it at this, directly at the doorstep of the parents.
It's there, Alpha. We discussed the fact that now we had two members of our, we meet every 2 months, and we have two members who we meet with that are elected school board officials. And they were indicating to us this morning that, you know, that it's not the teachers. This is just like you said. They need the help from the parents. And the fact of the matter is, though, is that when you go to some of the homes to deal with it, because, see, they also have what we have truant officers here, and they had some extra monies, some grants they got from Uncle Sam to hire a few more truant officers to follow up on the children, or the students, rather.
Are you telling me that they're using that socialist money from the government? They're in that red state?
A little, because you'd be surprised what the enforcement agencies are doing as to their involvement in the community, but they're stretched mighty thin. There's no other alternative other than to just try to put them behind bars. But the truant officers is trying to stop the bleeding. That's about all they can do is to stop the bleeding as to report to the parents through the district attorney's office the fact that these children are not attending school and the consequences thereof. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of the parents are so busy doing other things, either they're working two jobs or they're just irresponsible. And when you go to deal with the parents, they're in such a condition, either mentally or physically, that it's impossible to make any headway as to counseling and to trying to get some direction for their middle school kids. So it's just a dilemma. And it's not, just like I was telling them, I said, this is just not here. This is a problem in every major city across this country. And the programs, especially, that's going to impact at least us is the fact that there's no money in the budget, federal budget now, for some of these social programs in order to try to stem the bleeding and the flow of these children into the criminal justice system. All of this stuff has gone toward these special interest groups and toward the war effort. So we're left with nothing out of our tax dollars. As you can see, all of these right-wing people and Tea Party people are intimating, we have no money. You know, we don't have money to spend, but we had plenty of money over these last 8 years to start these wars and to rebuild other countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan from the ground up, do nation building, get involved in other nations' activities. There's always money for that. But when it comes to the infrastructure and comes to the social structure and safety nets for these children who are going to be the leaders of tomorrow in this country, we come up a day late and a dollar short, Alpha.
We come up far short. You know, Don, leave us face it. This isn't something that's just accidental, by the way. This is by design. And you speak about, you mentioned the right-wing groups, the people, the rich people, the people with money, the people who fund these right-wing think tanks and these foundations, and they go out And they have this constant, there's this constant drumbeat of, we don't want to support poor people. We don't want social programs to increase. Look at the welfare scenario that was pushed through under Bill Clinton after they had turned him into a Republican. And look at the bipartisan support that it got and the battle cry of, get the people off of welfare, get the people off of welfare, as they continued from the other side to underfund our schools, overfund the prisons, and simply set this thermostat to the temperature that we now have.
Yeah,
privatize the prisons. And
yeah,
so now it's about fair business. It's about free market. And that's what our prison systems have turned into. That's the argument today.
That's the argument. And Bill Clinton, if people would go back and see who funded his campaigns, they'd find out just how much of a black president that he really is. However, the prison system, as you were talking about, you know, we got money for weightlifting rooms and build your great physique, but you go to the library in the prison and you'd be hard pressed to find a 12-by-12 room with any books in it to try and allow these individuals to get something to that's constructive. So, yeah, you're right. The elitists in this country, the rich people, are tantamount to carrying out the steps that that's been planned for this country, which is to bring about a two-class society, the haves and the have-nots, and they're pretty close. We're pretty much there.
Well, Don, let me say this: when you have a system that is expanding on prisons instead of expanding on education, how many degrees do you have to see that that's coming from the wrong end of you know, addressing that scenario? Why isn't there more being placed into education? I mean, especially, and you know, you heard Janice Graham, and she spoke about overfunding the needy schools. And you will hear people who propagate, you can't cure it by throwing money after it. Well, you created it by not funding it. So why, if you fund it, is the bad thing? And those are the people who I don't see, they have this depraved indifference because it's not their child. I saw a very interesting bit of a real time with Bill Maher, where you had this African-American female propagating the Republican side. And she came out and she said something about, I'm not here trying to defend Mormons, because Bill Maher was reading from the Mormon, some of the founders and some of the quotes from some of the founders and some of the higher-ups in the Mormon church. And they were very racist remarks and very, you know, demeaning remarks. And here Amy Holmes sat there and she said, well, I'm not trying to defend the Mormon church. And Bill Maher looked her right in the eye and he said, I would hope you would be trying to defend black people. And, you know, the audience basically, you know, gave him the crescendo of applause, and Hill Harper was sitting right next to her. And he gave her the weirdest look, like, yeah, I would hope you'd be here defending black people too, but you're not. And she had all of the Republican talking points. And it seems that when people achieve, especially black people, when they achieve, and I've always said this, because of the temperature in our neighborhood because of the way, you know, the people in our neighborhood basically create this danger, this dangerous zone. You know, a fight could break out, a shooting could break out. There could always be illegal activity. People who achieve simply want to get away from that. They want to be able to leave a bicycle in their backyard. They want to be able to leave a door unlocked. And nowhere in this country can you go and be totally safe. But there are places in this country you can go and you better not leave it unlocked or you won't have it because of the temperature in the community. A calling out of those people, you know, when you see situations such as in Haiti and you see situations that happen in Katrina, and the first time you see people who are desperate and trying to survive, you see them pillaging the resources that are there. And mm-hmm. You, of course, somebody will come in and say, well, who's going to eat a television? Or who's going to, you know, you can't paint with that broad brush. Just like the people in Haiti. They were trying to survive. A week had gone past and they started looting. And they call it looting, and when actually it's nothing more than surviving. They are simply trying to survive.
Same thing that happened in Chile.
Exactly.
Trying to survive. But see, Alpha, I maintain the fact that the rulers of this country, those who are in charge and have been selected and then elected, they don't care about us, period. And we have become a commodity, just like we were when we first were brought here. And now we're used on the stock market, just like you said. You know, I can go down to Corrections Corporation of America Monday and buy stock and know I'm going to make money off of it because they're steady building prisons and they have not done anything to put money to stem the flow and to deal with the real issues that generate the disproportionate prison population, which is us. So it's obvious to me that they have no intent whatsoever to bring about any types of social programs like we used to have back in the day, to where when school was out, there was something for us to do in order to occupy the time. And so I think that we need to be cognizant of it. I think that we need to, and our leadership, I don't know where they're at. They'll be up there next week calling these little sorry conferences, sitting around patting each other on the back, begging for somebody's money, talking about what they're going to do, and haven't done anything in decades, and except propagate organizations to where they promote themselves and their own personal interests of theirs and their own, and travel back and forth to different countries, seeing the world, and expect those of us out here to pat them on the back and tell them that they're doing a good job. Well, not me. I don't subscribe to that type of tomfoolery, if you will. I'll put the preachers right in there, these prosperity preachers right in there with them. We have to, those of us who are conscious of what's happening, what's going on, we have to try to do the best we can wherever we're at in order to survive in this country. Because all they have to do is just like us talking here. If something should happen to this internet and they cut off the communication, we're left on our own out here. I wouldn't be able to get a hold of you. You wouldn't be able to get a hold of me. We couldn't have these types of conversations, and you know you're not going to get it on the so-called free press, the media. So it's incumbent upon us to recognize the state that we're in and the time is short, and we need to do as much as we can individually to prepare for the worst situation that we can imagine that's going to happen, because the plans are, that's like you said, all of this has been planned. This is not something that happened by accident. When that first airplane hit the Twin Towers, everybody thought it was could have been an accident. But when that second plane hit it, everybody began to scratch his head and say, well, wait a minute here, you know? So things have done by this country in the political arena has never been by accident. It's always been a plan. And we need to find out what that plan is and prepare countermeasures to deal with it. Because if we don't, you're going to be out there in an apple tree eating plums, wondering how in the world did I get here?
Somebody else's apple tree, I might add, or plum tree. You're absolutely right. You know, we also saw a municipality in Kansas City that has voted to close half the schools.
Exactly.
They voted to close half the schools.
Right.
Guess where those schools are going to be?
Oh, you know where they're going to be. Inner
take
city.
A quick stab at it. You know, it is getting a little uglier every single day. A little uglier. And, you know, Perry Steele has posted a few comments in the chat room, and one is profound. He said, once whites start suffering like everyone else, then they'll move to change something. And if you can get if you can get white people to suffer at our level, oh, then something's got to change. They're not going to have it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, when the Depression came about, they had the programs that were set aside back in the Depression days, when the Depression, when it was 20%, 25% unemployment rate. Yet we have in our inner cities 40-50% unemployment rate, and if you allowed it to get that way in the community, that doesn't look like us, you'll have total anarchy in the streets out here. You're talking about a revolution. You let that dollar drop. You let that dollar drop, and even the drug addict, as the minister has said, will wake up, because when you have no money to buy the drugs, you're going to sober yourself up.
Or you're going to have a hell of a cold, what do they call it? You have to kick it cold turkey. You're going to have a hell of a cold turkey experience. You're absolutely right, Don. And as a people, we have to wake up to a point of not continuing to drink the Kool-Aid. Now, and right now, you know what our flavor of Kool-Aid is with our youth? It's called Prisonade. You know, mix it with a little lemonade and Prisonade, because that's what you have. You have our youth being overwhelmed by that culture of prison, of don't snitch, don't tell. The cops are your enemies. And you can basically make a great argument for that. The cops are your enemies, because they do not have your best interest at heart. There are a lot of good police officers out here. But there is a level, there is a percentage of police officers who look upon, they're not like you in the community, and they look upon the community as dirt, and they look upon the community as something bad, as something outrageous, as something that you have to keep in check. I've got to get home to my family, so I shoot first and ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a criminal.
Yeah, I got it.
That's the idea.
Yeah, I was looking at what Perry was saying in the chat room. He says, not true. He went to a business meeting with whites who were crying, hurting and kissing Republicans, you know what. Well, that's true, too, for the most part. But it's just like when they had the Irish potato famine in this country. There will be violence, and no, if it reached that proportion of unemployment. They won't have enough police officers in this country to quell it. That's how come your police now have been trained to react to city violence, and they have been trained to look just like the soldiers that are hunting down Al-Qaeda and are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. So, that's what we're going to be facing. And they haven't built these prisons that we have as of yet unoccupied for nothing.
Well, one thing I did notice too, Don, on that station that we frequent quite a bit, the favorite, I guess their total programming after a certain time on Friday is Lockdown Raw. Lockdown Colorado, Lockdown Illinois, Lockdown Abroad.
Yeah.
It turns into a prison scenario.
Exactly.
And I mean it's just that subliminal communication.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks to that culture. And I tease my grandsons, the two who wear their pants below their butt.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them, did you see Lockdown? Did you see Lockup? Did you see Lockdown Raw?
Exactly.
Keep watching it. So
mm-hmm.
you'll know how to act when you get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because how is it that's the level of their program? And it started out with Predator. You got catching the child molesters, you know, on hidden camera, and you get to Lockdown Raw.
But it's all part of the sensitivity training of the American populace to get them used to not seeing anything that's going to disturb their psyche. It's conditioning, and it takes place over a period of time, and it has been taking place over many years, many, many years, and that's even it's affected us to the point to where our people, we're just oblivious to the fact of what's going on, and have just fallen right in line with the plans that they have for their total subjugation and total submission to becoming economic slaves, if not actual prisoners. And once you hit that prison system, that 13th Amendment doesn't apply to you. That's an exception in there to where you don't have rights as a free citizen of this country. There's an exception. And that's the prison system.
Well, I feel that you're absolutely correct, you know. And
Alpha, it's about time for me to get on out of Dodge here. It looks like the clock on the wall is sort of winding down. I appreciate the fact that you have taken time out of your day to provide us with this forum. And I thank Janice for allowing you to utilize this time in her slot. She's always been in there. Seems like there's a core group who's going to be here regardless and trying to put the information out to where hopefully someone somewhere who's listening can benefit. Thank you very much, Alpha.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your ideas. That's our chat room colleague, Don, always has very, very good opinion, information, and comment. And that's basically all you look for. You look for someone with a level of sanity. No, You want someone who speaks from experience. You want someone who can tell you what they've seen and how they've seen it, and maybe has this gone too far to turn it around? Have we been able, will we be able to stem this tide of ignorance, stem this tide of self-hatred? And when you get to a point where it's not just the people who don't look like you that are against you, it's the people who do look like you that are simply behaving not in their best interest or yours. Here in my city, we experienced 3 days of 60-degree weather each night. Each night, there was gunfire. Each night in this community, there was gunfire. And I have to be honest. Here in my city, there's a gun ban. And law-abiding citizens, I can't say such as myself, but such as myself, I don't believe I said that out loud. Law-abiding citizens cannot own a gun. But every night, once the temperature rises, you hear gunfire. You hear gunfire. It's a tough town. It's a tough place to live. And I've been telling the same joke for over 2 decades. When people ask me, you live in a tough town? You live in a tough city? I tell them my city is so tough that on New Year's Eve, we leave the house at 11:59 just to return fire. All right, so it's a bad joke. But you have to see, you have to be there. You have to see what I'm speaking about. Guns are illegal in my city. But everybody's got a gun. So what do? We as a people have to come to understand. It's not about I. It's not about me. Although you'd be hard-pressed to say that is the selfish ambition of each and every one of us. That's the priority. That is your top priority right now. Worry about me. But you have to allow that to slither out and to worry about someone else. You have to allow yourself to worry about social justice. And I'm simply looking forward for the backlash that someone like a clown, a fool, like a Glenn Beck is going to get, since he's so vilified. Social justice, something that Jesus supposedly preached. And I'm going to be honest. They say he did it, but no one was there. No one was there to hear it. So don't tell me what Jesus said. Just act like you think Jesus would have acted. What would Jesus do? And I'll simply say this. You don't really need to know what Jesus would have done. All you need to do is act like you know. And act accordingly. Social justice was his banner. But you can't tell that to the evangelical Christians on the right. You can't tell that to the people who propagate against healthcare for everyone. You can't tell that to these corporations who have allowed greed to tsunami their ethical behavior and their empathy and sympathy for the have-nots. I'm winding down in seconds. I want to thank everyone. Thank you, Janice, for allowing me to have this forum. Thank you, Don, for calling in and supporting us with your knowledge. And I want to thank everybody. You all have a good evening. And until next week. Thank you for listening. Right on.